prevail. To prevail is what life is all about, really. And, you know, as a pilot, if you happen to get up right on a little bit of altitude and you're flying against the wind, sometimes that old jet stream will give you 100 knots. Well, if your airspeed is only 100 knots, you're going to stand still. Whereas if you turn and go with the prevailing wind, your 100 knots plus 100 knots, you're doing 200 knots. Or, which I've got a little bit of experience with sailing a boat out on waters. And if you're going into the wind, you got to tack and tack and jib and tack. But if you fall around and go with the wind, have it aft of you, I mean, you're just going to sail right on. And do you know something? In your life today, the Holy Spirit is the wind in your sails. I did a documentary down near Georgia that was in the Ogham stated that the Holy Spirit was the sails that brought us to this country. And how fascinating it was. So you have a choice in this life. You can prevail and go with God, or you can fight a battle upstream all your life if you choose to. Just paddle, right? Or you can go with Him, that Holy Spirit, let Him lead you. He takes care of a whole bunch of troubles. You can prevail with Him. To prevail means to be able to contend. It means strength. It means power. I'm speaking of the Greek word that's translated prevail. And it just has all sorts of aids in overcoming. And that's what God does for you. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. We're going to pick it up here with verse 11. And verse 11 of chapter 19, and it reads, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul." It's still God doing it, but Paul was His servant. Verse 12, "So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." God cleanses. Verse 13 of chapter 19, book of Acts. "Then certain of the vagabond Jews," that means the Kenites that claim to be of Judah, "exorcists," that means witch doctors, "took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus." I mean, it worked for Paul. "Saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." That's the one we're doing this from. 14. "And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so." But he's a witch doctor priest. Got it? And so it is. 15. "And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Who do you think you are?" Now, when you don't utilize the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in total faith and knowledge, if you start messing with evil spirits, don't think they don't know. They know. And they know who has the presence of God and who doesn't. So what do they do? Verse 16, "And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them and overcame them and prevailed." There's our word, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. I mean, don't mess around with Christ. If you either love Him or you don't, you can't con people. Okay, they're playing church and they got bit. Okay, verse 17, "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks," that's to say Gentiles, "also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." In other words, God used the prevailing of the evil spirit to further Paul's work. Yeah, you have it. You have God or you don't. You've got the Holy Spirit in your sails or you don't. You're either going with the wind or you're pumping upstream. It's so much easier to love him and let him use you. 18, and many that believed came and confessed, showing their deeds. 19, many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. $1 million, okay, of junk, false teaching, misleading people. Verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. God's word will always prevail if you will study, if you will be rightly divided, if you will show yourself approved, where no evil spirit can overcome you or your family. You've got it under control. And certainly, that's having the Holy Spirit. When you have him with you, for you, then who can be against you? No one. They may ruffle your feathers, they may give you a hard time, but you will always prevail in Christ. Because that means you are able, that you have the power and the strength to prevail. So now go with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to pick it up with verse 13 here. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, Son of Man is the title Christ used when he was in the flesh walking the earth. Okay, I'll say it again. Son of Man is the title used when Christ is in the flesh body walking on this earth. Okay? And so it is. Verse 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias. They think you're Elijah. The others, Jeremiah. They think you're Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets. 15. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I want to know. Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he laid it right on the line. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Barjona means the son of the dove. And naturally, where Simon means a hearing and son of the dove means you heard from the Holy Spirit, didn't you? That's what it means. This is having the Holy Spirit in your sails. He can lead you, guide you, and direct you. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Through the Holy Spirit he was encouraged and came forth. 18, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and this is rock, Petros. And upon this rock, Petros is Peter's name, Petra. This is an unmovable rock. This is Christ. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And there's our word, prevailing. You want to be on the right team, and you want to have the Holy Spirit in your sails. You want to be going with him, not against him. Now, did he give Peter the keys to hell? No, he didn't. He said that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ has the key to the gates of hell, and he's about to make a trip there after the crucifixion. Verse 19, but what does he have to give the keys to? 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. That's the king and the dominion of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shalt thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, in Christ's name, that church, if you bring people to the Savior and they are saved, if you loose them from the bounds of this earth, it's sin and coming short and so on and so forth, then they're going to also be loosed in heaven. Their salvation is good in heaven as well as it is in earth, accomplished by the church. And what is that church again? It's Christ. When Christ releases you through his servants, even if you're still on the earth, you overcome and you have that loosing even in heaven. See, he's got the keys there. And when you unlock heaven and open Christ's kingdom, he rent that veil from top to bottom on the Holy of Holies and said, if you really love me and if you believe me, you come on in. You don't need some preacher. You don't need some high priest. Come to me. And there you have it. He gives you that key when you believe and when you know him. But you can't play games. You've got to have that Holy Spirit. And you've got to go with him. Don't ever fight against God. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your life. Always pray and understand. Bring him into the equation of your life. Follow what he would tell you, what he leads you, and the letter he has written you, giving you instruction on how to prevail. It's a lot more fun to prevail than to lose. It's a lot more fun to overcome than it is to fail totally and miserably your family, your community, and God. That's terrible. You never do you want to go there. Now, let's go, if we may, next to the book of Ephesians. You'll remember that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 4, God says to his election, I chose you before the foundations of this earth age. You have God's ability to foreordain or to forelead his election, to lead them into the truth. And much of that destiny is spoken of here. But we're going to drop on down to verse 17 in this same chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. And it reads, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Where does that come from? It comes from God. And do you know something? It's a gift to you if you seek, if you find, if you pray about it, if you give God the glory. And if you search for that wisdom to know and understand that truth. Verse 18, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And so it is that these elect do have an inheritance. You want to collect that. You want to claim it. It's a promise from God. It's a beautiful thing. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? This is one of the words we came here. To usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. The first power here is dunamis. Is where our word dynamite comes from. That kind of power. The next power is your ability to get it done. Like to prevail. Okay. So that's an awesome power that he gives you if you plug into it. Well, how do I do that? Well, like he said, by praying for the wisdom and the understanding and the revelation. Well, what is this revelation? It lets you know what's going to happen. It lets you know what he expects from you. What will transpire in this world. that you have the ability to fulfill the promise that he brings, simply for the taking, for those that will listen, that will search and find that beautiful truth, how precious it is. Verse 20 to continue. Which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. This is why you have an advocate right there at God's right hand to protect you, to assist you. It doesn't get any better than that. Talk about wind in your sails. Talk about the ability to overcome. That's where it comes from. 21, for above all principality, listen to me, and power. That means even supernatural in the heavenly places, even if you would. That's what the principalities are. Fallen angels, the devil himself, and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The fallen angels, the whole bit, you got power over them. You cannot imagine how important this is for this moment, for this time, that you plug into that power, that ability to prevail in his name, even against Satan himself, even against the witch doctors themselves, the demons themselves, false teachers themselves. By what? By adhering and absorbing the real Word of God. For it is the Word that that we hang to, both in this one and that is to come. 22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He's it. Okay. So don't try to get along without him. Don't try to push against the stream. He tells you how it's going to be. If you go with that flow, you're going to be blessed. Verse 23 to complete. Which is his body. The church is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. It fills everything, everywhere. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. When you have that Holy Spirit in your presence, how can you go wrong? Again, I want to emphasize again, when you go back into Ephesus here, especially in verse 4, and you find out that he's talking here to those he chose before the foundations of this world. Do you know something? He counts on his servants. He expects them to understand the revelation. He expects them to know they've got a witness, and they've got a witness against the false one. And that false one will mislead. He will send his own little angels. And that's why it is extremely important that you understand how important, especially at this time, to have the Holy Spirit with you, in you, and around you. You might say, well, why is it so important? Because evil spirits will run from you. Satan himself will run from you. Why? They're afraid of you. Well, why are they afraid of me? Because you have Christ in you. That is to say, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ruach. And they know with a command that you can send them back where they came from in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Yeshua. Then they must depart. They have no choice. They're afraid of you. Now, if one lives in this time when it's very actual, I mean, it's a fact, that Michael's going to throw that whole bunch out of heaven again. They're coming here. That's what makes it more important than ever, because he's depending on you to see that the record is kept and that you make your stand, that you stand against him, and you will prevail. because you follow the prevailing one, that is to say, the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a precious time. Many of the prophets wanted to live today when these end times were consummating. As Christ gave us the message in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, they didn't live at this time, but they wanted to. Well, you do. Why? Because God's election, that generation was saved for now. First will be last, and the last will be first. First chosen will be last. Why? Because that's when Satan's coming. You did it before. You stood against him. He knows you can cut it. And he knows you'll do it again. So, it is ever, ever important that you be able to understand his teachings and the revelation. And speaking of his revelation, let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Let's make it 5:5. Let's pick it up with the verse, the fifth verse. This is when the seven seals were brought. You ever heard of them? What are the seals? The seals are what you're supposed to have in your mind when you're prevailing. They're written for anyone to understand. And you're supposed to be able to recognize them as they come to pass. But before they were opened, who opened them for us? Verse 5, chapter 5, Revelation. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. I mean, he was crying because no one could understand. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. He always prevails. To open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. They are loosed. Have you absorbed them? You know, the seals come first. That's why God said in Revelation chapter 7, stop the end until the election have been sealed in their foreheads with the truth of what's going to happen so they know how to interact, react, and to act. Verse 6, and I beheld, I looked, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, this would be better translated, the four living creatures, this is the Zoon, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And naturally, that's symbolic of the 7,000 of God's elect and the leader thereof, which is to say, he that prevails, and he expects you to prevail through them. Verse 7, and he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts, the living creatures, and 24 elders, that's the patriarchs and the apostles, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, and which are the prayers of the saints. Do you know where your prayers go? Do you know who? Well, he never hears my prayer. Don't give me that. They're bottled. They're kept. They're thought over. And when the time is right, guess what? Bingo. It happens. So, and this is that time that God's elect will go into action. Verse 9, and they sung a new song, not an old one. A new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. In other words, all that are supposed to hear, the kings and queens of the ethnos, the election, and Israel that are supposed to hear, are going to hear. Because Christ, through the Holy Spirit, allows you to prevail when you do what he says, when you absorb the seals, when you read the word, and when you absorb it, the book, that this book. Verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests. That's how he looks at you. and we shall reign on the earth, speaking of the millennium, of course, as it comes. 11, and I beheld, I looked again, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Do you understand what's above our head to make things come to pass if you have the wind in your sails that's called the Holy Spirit? Do you know how much power is really there? It would be a frightening thing. Do you understand why Satan runs from you? He knows the power that is there and the power that is for God's election when they have the faith and the belief to use it, to stand forth with it, having absorbed the seals, knowing the truth. And it would be like old Elisha when he and just his armor bearer faced a whole enemy, an army. In 2 Kings chapter 6, what is it, verse 17? And Elisha says, God, just open the heavens there and let him see this army that's right up above us. And he said, oh boy, let's go. Because there was chariots, there was warriors. You see, we don't have anything to worry about. Father's on the throne, the Son's with him, and he encourages us. Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive. You want to know what those seven spirits are? Don't ever let it get away from you. Count them. Power, one. And riches, two. And wisdom, three. And strength, four. And honor, five. And glory, six. And blessings, seven. That's all of them. That's the spirit that God's election carried, and you can always spot one of them because of it. It's a precious thing to have the right wind in your sails, to prevail in life because you believe, because he has chosen, and because you earned it, even in the first earth age. How precious it is. 13, and every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Not just part-time, my friend. We're in forever and ever here. One more verse to complete. And the four beasts said, Amen. Meaning, what does amen mean in the Greek tongue or Hebrew? That's that. End of story. That is that. Final. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him and that lived forever and ever. And so it is that our Father leads his own. Our Father uses his own. Thumb on ahead to the 12th chapter of this great book of Revelation. Chapter 12 in the book of Revelation covers a longer period of time than any other chapter in the Bible. It starts out in the world that was. It gives you Satan's power as he fell as the protecting cherub in Ezekiel 24. And how that in verse 3 and 4 that he drew a third of God's children away from God. And naturally fell, and God sent a Savior. But what I'm most interested in to complete this lecture is what happens at the end and what happens to you. There's going to be a great war in heaven. I'm sure that the rustling has already started. The fight is about to happen. And I know who's going to win because I know who prevails. The question is, do you want to prevail? If you do, you'll stay with he who is the prevailer. That is to say, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7 of chapter 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels. What happened? Verse 8. And prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Satan always loses. You got that in your mind? Don't ever try to let him deceive you or promise you things, because he can't fulfill it. He's a liar and the father of it. When Michael and his angels hit him, he failed. His tenure in heaven was over. His holding place is actually what it amounts to, and Michael's the one that's got the key that holds him. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. This is all of his names. The serpent in the garden, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Now, how much of the world did he deceive? The whole world. Well, brother, you're teaching all this and you're wasting your time, because we're all going to fly away. Oh, well, have a good trip. You know, I hope you're not going to be disappointed. It's much better to prevail. Why? Because you do it God's way, okay? He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Both the fallen angels that seduced the daughters of Adam in Genesis chapter 6. This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, a woman wants to keep Christ over her head because of the angels. They're coming back. And this is why Jesus would teach in Matthew 24, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. They're going to be giving and taking in marriage again. With who? The fallen angels. The deception is coming. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. That power always there. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Who do you think accuses you? Do you understand that's what the whole book of Job was about? It's how that Satan accuses even you before God. It's going to be gone. It's going to be right down here in person. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. Who is death? Satan. You're not afraid of him, and you don't have to worry about him. It doesn't mean a literal death. But, again, how did you prevail? How did you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. Christ crucified. Well, what does it mean, Christ crucified? Who did it? Why did they do it? And what do they expect you to gain from it? Don't be deceived in these end times by the Kenites. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Do you have to be afraid of that? Absolutely not. You know why? He's afraid of you. He knows what will happen to him if he contends with you. And when you witness before him, he will know who's speaking. It won't be you, it will be the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, that's Mother Israel, which brought forth the man-child, which gave birth to Christ. Symbolically speaking, 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and half time, from the face of the serpent. 3.5 years, shortened to 5 months now, and shortened even to a 2.5 month period. How precious God is that he loves his own. Verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Do you know what that water is? It's lies. False teaching. Do you have to be afraid of a flood of lies? Of course you don't. Why? Because you have the truth. Because you have the prevailing wind in your sails. And that prevailing wind is the Holy Spirit that has power over all these people. And he stands by you. He protects you. He leads you. He guides you. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. Don't ever let that happen to you. a brave man dies once, a coward dies 1,000 deaths. See that you don't fall in that category. You're a prevailer. Act like it. 16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. God always protects his own. He controls nature, that is natural. He takes care of us. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, why did he make war with them? Because he had everybody else eaten out of his hand. He was loading his bus to fly them away. But you're going to stand against him. Why? Because you're going to prevail. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for giving us the ability to prevail. Father, you make it so easy for us who believe and have the faith to know that all your promises are for us this day to claim and to exercise, to understand the seals and what's about to happen, and see that we're good, worthy servants to thy cause and benefit, that we all prevail who have earned it. In Jesus' precious name, Yeshua. Amen, amen, amen.
Mark of the Beast on sea.